Members of the special forces and their families need a lot of resilience. Combat is hard and dangerous, and service members might be away for long periods. Special Operations Command is embarking on a new initiative to help ease the pressure on members of the elite force and their families. It's called the Preservation of the Force and Family Task Force. Captain Tom Chaby is the task force director. He joins me now. Captain Chaby, good morning.
Good morning. How are you doing?
All right. So tell us what it is you're doing for the families in the special forces.
Well, we have a program. It's called Preservation of the Force and Family, and it's broken down into four domains: physical, psychological, social — that would be the specific family component — and spiritual. And we're trying to synchronize these four domains into one synchronized program.
And so what are the elements of the program? What is it that they can avail themselves of, these special force families?
Well, the elements of the program include education, offsites, things where we try to teach the family members what to expect when their spouse deploys downrange. A lot of these families come in very young. They have no idea what to expect. And while we're doing this, we're also building a network. And this network allows the family members to have a resource to go to while their family member may be in Afghanistan, Iraq, or wherever they may be, where they could reach out, ask questions, and ask for help when they need it. So between education and availability of resources, we're just building a network that really uplifts these family members while their spouse is downrange.
What is giving rise to the need for this now? Is it the increased tempo of the last 10 or 12 years?
That's exactly right. The beginning of the OEF and OIF, it really was a sprint, and people went out of the starting blocks and really responded well. But as you look at this 10-plus years now, the endurance factor is really starting to take its wear and tear. And how we characterize it here at Special Operations Command is the force is getting frayed. And we're really seeing a breakdown in just little things. Divorce rate has been going up. Just other factors such as alcoholism and depression and anxiety, things that really show us that this war has been taking a toll on our people.
So in special forces, how is their life different than regular non-special forces in the same zone of the world?
Well, you know, military people deploying is really the same across the board, with the one exception in special operations is we deploy in a manner that is much more disparate. We'll go in smaller units to more austere locations. The length of our deployments vary significantly, where you may go out the door thinking you're going to be deployed for 3 or 4 months, you're going to end up staying 6 or 7 months, maybe 8 months. Another factor is where we deploy, there are not a lot of garrison resources. We'll be in a place where there's not a large base like a Bagram or a Balad, where you have a small medical clinic, where you have social services, things like this. You'll be out in the middle of nowhere, pretty much with nothing, just relying on yourself and your unit.
So it's almost like camping, only without the fun.
I suppose you could characterize it that way.
Because at the garrisons, there are pool tables and entertainment and different services and foods offered, you know, by the USO and so forth. These are people that are way completely on their own without any of those services, correct?
That is correct. That is correct. When you're near a Balad, for example, or a Bagram would be a better example today, you know, they have everything you have here at MacDill Air Force Base, where I'm sitting right now, for example.
All right. So, by the way, we're speaking with Captain Tom Chaby. He is the Task Force Director for the Preservation of the Force and Family Task Force. And so give us the genesis. How did this whole thing get designed? Who thought this whole program up, looking at the numbers?
Well, about 6 years ago, maybe five, Admiral Olson commissioned a survey where he sent out a team that included senior leadership here from SOCOM, Special Operations Command, senior officers, senior enlisted, some spouses went along, and they conducted over 450 town hall meetings And then they also did an actual assessment of the force. And when this was done and they tabulated all the results, it was obvious. The force was frayed. There were a lot of challenges that were starting to mount. And Admiral Olson really at that point said, we need to create a formal effort that would augment what the services do, the Army, the Navy, Air Force, and Marines, which have fabulous programs. And our first line of defense and our first line of offense is to fully leverage these service programs. But there are some seams. And the POTF, Preservation of the Force and Family Program, is really designed to fill those seams and gaps to make sure our people are getting all the services and being taken care of at a level where we're really focused on one thing and one thing only, and that is operational readiness. The commander of United States Special Operations Command wants to make sure that his people are ready to do what the country needs them to do. So Admiral Olson started it. Admiral McCraven carried the torch, and now he just passed that to General Votel.
And let me ask you this. What percentage of the special forces that are out there, special operations, are female?
Well, congressionally, women are not allowed to be in ground operations at this point, but that's
right.
Under consideration. And there's a big effort right now called Women in Service Review, and they're really taking a hard look at where that might be able to take place in the future. But right now, there are no women in our actual combat fighting forces that are on the ground. But women support us, and they are a huge part of Special Operations Command. And without them, we would be nowhere near as operationally ready as we are.
Is it safe to say, though, that for those that are deployed forward, as you described in these austere conditions, that knowing that the family is taken care of in some manner in a specialized way helps them maintain their readiness and their edge?
Undoubtedly. For me, and I was the commanding officer of SEAL Team 5, when I walked out the door, I knew that my family would be taken care of. And equally important, I knew all the men and women from my team, I knew their families would be taken care of. This allows us to focus on the battlefield. It really reduces the stress of being deployed. And like I said before, it's all about that one thing, operational readiness.
And how do you get special operators to get away from whatever stigma they might attach to seeking psychological help if that's required?
You know, that's a great question. And that is a huge challenge that we've been really hitting straight on. Admiral McCraven and now General Votel speak of it often, where they discuss this with the leadership and say how important it is if somebody needs behavioral health care to support them, to let them go, to take away, strip away the stigma. I'll tell you, from when I came in and you went to go see the psychologist, or back then we would fondly refer to it as the shrink, it was the scarlet letter. Your career would be over at that point. But today it's not the case. And the stigma, although it's not completely stripped away, it's changing culturally. Day by day, it's getting better and better and better, and I really see a bright future for this challenge.
And you mentioned physical and spiritual services for members of the force and their families. What are some of the forms those take?
Well, in the spiritual domain, we really rely on our chaplain corps, and the Army really leads the charge here, and they have all sorts of family programs, individual programs that help people navigate those challenges, those spiritual challenges that they face through combat. But don't let me mislead you. You know, the spiritual domain does not necessarily have to be religious. For me, for example, it is. But for other people, it may not be. But it's a great unifier. It really takes the command morale, the command philosophy, ties it all together. And I look at it as the connective tissue that ties those other three domains together.
And on the physical side, of course, everyone, I think, is aware that the physical requirements for getting into and staying in special operations are pretty vigorous. How do you maintain that edge over time? Or is it just simply being in the force that keeps people in great shape, or do they have to do something extra?
No, you know, that's a fantastic question. I've been in for 25 years now, and I'm very representative of the Navy Special Operations community. I've had 8 operations, 6 knee, 2 hip. And to maintain your operational readiness through injuries like that, you need programmatics. And that's what the POTF's doing. We're implementing programs for strength and conditioning to build people up, to build resiliency in a prehab manner versus a rehab manner. And then we have physical therapists on board. And these physical therapists will piece us together after we have our injuries. Unbelievable capability. What I could see them do with one of our guys who has a small injury is amazing, because if they weren't there to help mitigate and intervene on that minor injury, it would have turned into a bigger one, and the operational readiness would have been degraded, and we would have lost that special operator to the hospital or an operation. So the programmatics are really helping improve operational readiness.
All right, and final question, what are your metrics for success for the preservation of the Force and Family Task Force?
You know, our metrics are simple. We're just looking at everything from our injury rate, it's going down. We're looking at our recovery rate, it's speeding up. We're looking at things like our divorce rate. It is definitely stagnant at this time, but we're really working hard to improve that. But then we're looking at things like the delta between people seeking behavioral health care and displaying symptomatics that are consistent with anxiety or depression. We're decreasing that delta. So what we're seeing is people that have better access to care, they're more willing to go seek and accept that care, and our people are just getting better and better. And once again, to go back to the focus of everything here, our operational readiness is improving every day.
Captain Tom Chaby is Director of the Preservation of the Force Task and Family Task Force at Special Operations Command. Thanks so much for joining me.
Thank you. Have a great day.